Well, good morning again. My name is Peter John Mitchell. I'm a senior researcher with the IMFC, and I just want to take a few moments, as Dave has said, just to introduce some research that we've been working on at the IMFC. It's been estimated that approximately 30,000 children in Canada are available and waiting for adoption, yet only about 8% of those children will be adopted this year. And it seems to me that as Canadians, we can do better. But where do you start? There have been a few reports here in Canada highlighting the problems and the roadblocks in the domestic adoption system. Like the report by our now Governor General David Johnston, published in Ontario just a few years ago before his appointment. The adoption systems, and I say that kind of plural, because adoption is a provincial issue, and even in some provinces, policies change from county to county. But the adoption systems in Canada are like that tangled extension cord in your garage. The big problem is obvious. The nasty knots are easy to identify. But the real headache comes when you're trying to untangle a cord. And it's here that the IMFC wants to contribute to helping untangle that cord. And by contributing to the dialogue, it's often a quiet dialogue on adoption. We want to engage Canadians to stay in the garage, to figure this knotted cord out, and not rather than heading back into the house for another cup of coffee. We took the first step by publishing a report that looked at the outcomes of children in the adoption system and children who have gone through foster care. Now, foster care aims to return children back to their home, but that's not always possible, and some children enter long-term foster care. We suspected that the literature would tell us that children that have come through the adoption would have better outcomes, and for the most part, this is true. But perhaps equally large takeaway for us was the issue that comparing adoption and foster care are simply more complex than we thought, and it's a complex comparison for a whole host of reasons. Comparing adoption to long-term foster care is not a like-to-like comparison. There are different systems that function differently and sometimes offer different things for different children on different trajectories. There is some difficulty in comparing even historical trends in Canada because policies have changed over the years, and that's affected how we go about administering foster care and adoption and even the kinds of children that enter foster care. Even regional comparisons can be different because of the policy differences. Studies on long-term foster care have been thin in quantity, though I believe this is a changing trend. And many of the studies have been small and localized or at the state level. Nonetheless, there are some important considerations that can be gleaned, and I just want to share a couple of them that I thought were particularly interesting. One of the important areas is that sense of belonging or attachment that children have towards their caregivers. And by attachment, we mean how children pursue closeness and connect physically, behaviorally, emotionally, and psychologically with adults. The evidence indicates that children who are adopted early in life tend to show the healthiest attachments. A UK study suggested that children adopted by foster parents also demonstrated healthy attachments, and those children who remain in regular contact with biological parents also showed reasonably healthy attachments. The study found that when children had irregular contact with biological parents, they fared a little less well, and children in institutional care, such as group homes, were more likely to demonstrate disordered attachments. Another measure of outcomes for children is educational attainment. Children who have been adopted tend to have slightly lower educational outcomes than their peers overall. And children who have been in foster care, particularly long-term, tend to have even lower educational outcomes still. And this may reflect the frequency of school change that is often common among children in foster care as they change placements. Well, we can surmise that from the literature that the sense of stability is important to children, the kind of stability that adoption provides. And this is not to say that long-term foster care cannot provide the stability. It can, and it does. However, children do age out of the foster care system, and often with poor results. For example, we know that former foster children are overrepresented among Canada's homeless population. foster children who do remain and do do retain a relationship with their foster parents seem to do better on outcomes than those who've aged out of the system and do not have those relationships intact. Well, why are some children adopted and some aren't? Well, there's really no hard or fast rules around this, but there are some predictors of adoption. And some of those trends include the age of the child. We know that children who are older are often harder to place. And that's partly because of their age, but also partly because older children tend to be given care plans that focus towards foster care rather than adoption. Sometimes disabilities come into play, although I think that this is often overstated. Surveys show that parents who are prospective adoptive parents are often very willing to take children with disabilities. And finally, family background, placement history, and removal history. Sometimes the roughest stories, the children from the most difficult backgrounds, are the hardest to place. Well, the House of Commons Standing Committee on Human Resources, Skills, and Social Development during the last session studied adoption resources and adoption resources for parents. And I attended one of the committee meetings just to hear what the witnesses had to say. And the day that I was there, I experienced a particularly rare moment in Ottawa. A mother had come to talk about her adopted son and that experience to adopt this little boy whom an acquaintance of hers could no longer adequately care for. The woman described the arduous screening process of a prospective adoptive parent, and you can understand why it is so thorough. However, it is plainly evident that this was a stressful and invasive examination of personal and family life. But this was only the beginning. She described the long journey of loving her new son, a boy who pushed back, challenging, if not defying, the family to love him. This little boy would fly off into uncontrollable and inconsolable rages. She pursued in love. He resisted in fear and anger. The life of the family was turned upside down and inside out, and the very unity of the family was stretched to the max. She was weeping as she told the story of this wounded little boy, and there was literally not a dry eye around the table. For that brief 7 minutes, the bitter partisanship that seems to characterize committee meetings the last few years seemed to melt away. And it reminds me that the experts in adoption are those families that have experienced it and are living it, and we need to tap, and policymakers need to tap those communities and help invite them into that discussion to help unravel that cord. Second, good policy needs needs good information, and we need to do a better job of collecting that information and start looking at how a better way that we can grasp those trends. The study is available in your packet. It's called Fostering Adoption, and